The Bible tells us that God creates every human being in His image and that we should protect every innocent human life. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amendment 4 would allow abortion until the moment of birth. Every abortion kills an innocent human life. Choose life. Vote no on Amendment 4.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
The general election of 2024 is right around the corner. In fact, early voting is going on right now and will be ending actually at 3 p.m. on Sunday, November the 3rd. Election Day, for those who are voting on Election Day, will be November the 5th. It is vitally important that we vote for righteous candidates, that we vote for candidates that will uphold biblical principles, and also that we study where those the Bible to see what God says about the issues and what God says about that is important. And also study where the candidates stand on various issues. Also on the ballot, not only are candidates on the ballot, but we also have taxing issues on the ballot. And we also have proposed constitutional amendments and judicial retention candidates. We do, by the way, at FloridaVotesValues.com have a voter guide for the local election for St. Lucie County. We also have links to voter guides for state and federal candidates. In addition, we have voter guides for the judicial retention elections and for the constitutional amendment. And we have actually covered those, and we have up at Florida Votes Values the sermons that I have preached on the proposed constitutional amendments as well, for you to look at and view and see the rationale and the arguments that I made and how I came to the conclusion on those amendments. One of the amendments that I do want to, and I have mentioned this multiple times, is Amendment 4. Amendment 4 is the amendment that would allow abortion all the way to the moment of birth, with no restrictions up until viability, and even after viability, when a baby can live outside the womb, would still allow abortion if a medical provider, not a doctor, but a medical provider, a term that is not defined in the amendment, and a term that could mean a whole host of people, including maybe even the person answering the phone at the abortion clinic, certainly would include the abortionist himself or herself, would allow not just to protect the life of the mother. And obviously, if you're at the point of viability, why not just deliver the baby? I mean, the baby can live outside the womb at the point of viability. So why not just deliver the baby at that point? But not just for the life of the mother, but the health of the mother, which is another term that is not defined. We do encourage you and urge you to vote no on Amendment 4. Amendment 4 is the biggest election issue on the ballot. It is bigger than the presidency of the United States. It is bigger than who is going to be our senator. It's bigger than what judges will be retained. It's bigger than any other issue that you will face on the ballot. It's bigger than who your county commissioner is or who your city council member is. This is the biggest issue of all. It's whether we will continue to allow preborn children to be slain at the current level, which is way too much, or whether we will open up the floodgates and make Florida an abortion destination where people are coming from other states to vacation to have an abortion. So they're coming here not to go to Disneyland. They're coming here. They'll be coming here to kill their preborn child. And we need to vote no on Amendment 4. We are going to look today at the Bible, and we're going to encourage you to pray for the outcome of this election. In fact, also, Personhood Florida will have a prayer meeting Monday evening on the 4th of November. On our Facebook page and our YouTube channel, you can take part in that. We would encourage you to pray separately, but if you can join us, pray with us as we pray for the election and pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, for his kingdom to come on earth as it does in heaven. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We as a nation need to obey God and keep his commandments. If we want to be a nation that is blessed by God, we need to honor him and obey him. Proverbs 28:12 says, when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. And then Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked man rules, the people groan. In America, we actually have the ability to actually vote for those who are in authority over us. We actually have the authority to participate in the election process. So if we are voting for candidates that support wickedness, if we are voting for a candidate, let's say, that supports the shedding of innocent blood in the womb, that is a sin. It's a violation of God's commandments. And the Bible, and it's wicked. And the Bible says that when the wicked man rules, the people groan. But when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And obviously, sometimes in elections, you don't have a clear choice of one person that is righteous. But you definitely will always have one person that is more righteous than the other, or one person that's more wicked than the other. And you'll have to make decisions based on where they stand on the issues. The Bible also tells us in Psalm 33, verses 12 through 19, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. So here we see, blessed is the nation that sings God bless America. No, that's not what it says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. We need to honor God. If we want God to bless us, certainly it's fine to sing God bless America, but we need to make sure that we are blessing God and that we are obeying him, that we are keeping his commandments and his precepts and honoring him. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So we need to be praying for those who are in authority over us right now. And also we need to be aware that we have the ability to actually vote for those who will rule over us in the future. And we need to do our best to determine whether they would be more likely to obey God and his commandments or not. And whether we vote for those candidates or not, we also need to hold them accountable. But we need to pray for them, and we need to pray that God would move their hearts. Matthias Burnett, pastor of First Baptist Church in Newark, in an election sermon preached at Hartford on the day of the anniversary election, this was preached May 12, 1803, said this: "Consider well the important trust which God has put into your hands. To God and posterity you are accountable for your rights and your rulers. Let not your children have reason to curse you for giving up those rights and prostrating those institutions which your fathers delivered to you." This is really one of the most powerful quotes from our founding era and from the era after the founding era, that by not voting or by voting for candidates that support wickedness, we are giving place for God's judgment to come upon this land and for our children to rise up and actually curse us. And because we have not done what we should do, let not your children have reason to curse you for giving up those rights and prostrating those institutions which your fathers delivered to you. Our founding fathers bled and died. Many men risked their lives and also lost their lives to establish the rights that we have today. And some people don't even show up and vote, much less show up and vote an educated vote, where they're actually just determining what God says about the issues and also where the candidates stand on these issues. So we need to actually do this. We need to study to show ourselves approved, and we need to go out and vote according to biblical principles. The Bible says that God is sovereign in elections, and in Daniel chapter 2, we read, "He changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding." So we see that God is the one who is sovereign in elections and in who rules over the nations. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, we read, "This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men." So here we see that God, you know, a lot of times we look at those who are in powers of or positions of power, and we say that we look up to them, the President of the United States and our governor and our senators and our state legislators, our county commissioners. But God says here that he puts over nations the lowest of men. Then going on in verse 29 of Daniel 4, "At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?' While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling will be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." And this is when Nebuchadnezzar actually went out into the field and ate like a cow would eat, ate grass like a cow would eat, and until the appointed time, and then his sense returned to him, and he understood that God is sovereign. Oh, how I wish that could happen to some of the politicians we have in America today. It would really be great if something like that would happen. John Adams, in the papers of John Adams, said this: "We electors have an important constitutional power placed in our hands. We have a check upon two branches of the legislature. The power, I mean, of electing at stated periods each branch. It becomes necessary to every citizen, then, to be in some degree a statesman and to examine and judge for himself the tendencies of political principles and measures. Let us examine, then, with a somber, a manly, and a Christian spirit. Let us neglect all party loyalty and advert to facts. Let us believe no man to be infallible or impeccable in government any more than in religion. Take no man's word against evidence, nor implicitly adopt the sentiment of others who may be deceived themselves, or may be interested in deceiving us." And that's from, again, the papers of John Adams. God warned the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8 against becoming fat and well-fed and forgetting God. You see, there's a tendency, just like Nebuchadnezzar. Things were going good. He was in power. He was in power because God had put him in power. But there's a tendency to look at what you have and the blessings that you have and believe that those came about from your own doing. And Nebuchadnezzar did that, and God humbled him. The children of Israel, God warned the children of Israel that this tendency happens to nations as well, that they can actually get to a place where they look at the blessings that they have and they become complacent in that state, and they believe that those blessings are from the hard work that they have done. And certainly God wants us to work hard, and we are blessed and rewarded with hard work, but that hard work is not the reason that we are blessed. If we are blessed, it is because of God's hand. And the tendency is when you believe that the blessings of God are coming upon you because of something that you did, and you forget God, and you start becoming apathetic and not pressing in to seek God, then you can fall away. And this happens not only to individuals, but also to nations. When groups of individuals in the nation start doing this, then what you actually have is you have a nation that starts departing from God. And you see this time and time again in the book of Judges. In the blessings of God, they become complacent. And then in the complacency, that gives way to sin and disobedience. And then in their disobedience, that leads to God's judgment, which includes bondage and God raising up oppressors to rule over them. And then at some point, they look up from the ashes, from the difficult times that they're in, and they remember that there is a God, and they cry out to him, and they repent of their sins. And God has mercy and raises up a deliverer to deliver them and to provide relief. But then their obedience leads to blessings, and the blessings lead to complacency, and the complacency leads to disobedience. And the pattern goes over and repeats over and over again in the book of Judges. We're going to read in Judges chapter 2, beginning of verse 10. When all the generations had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them that did not know the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they followed other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Asherahs. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand against their enemies. Whenever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groanings because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers, by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord, to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua. And then in Judges chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, now these are the nations which the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them, that is, all who had not known any of the wars of Canaan. This was only so that the generation of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it, namely, five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, who dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal, Hermon, to the entrance of Hamath. And they were left, that they might test Israel by them, to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, and served Baals and Asherahs. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushim Rishathaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushim Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushim Rishathaim. What is needed is for us as a nation, as a people, us as God's people, to humble ourselves and pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, as the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Today, we as the church need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek the face of God Almighty and repent of our sins and turn from our wicked ways. We need to cry out to Him and ask that He would have mercy upon us, that He would raise up a deliverer to rule in this land, that He would raise up righteous men, righteous women, that we would see Amendment 4 defeated, and that we would see righteousness exalted in our cities, our counties, our state, and our nation. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
The Bible tells us that God creates every human being in His image, and that we should protect every innocent human life. The Declaration of Independence says all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Amendment 4 would allow abortion until the moment of birth. Every abortion kills an innocent human life. Choose life. Vote no on Amendment 4.
7 million people suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. Alzheimer Treatment Centers of America, a business partner with WCNO, can treat these conditions. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has opened a clinic in Port St. Lucie and gives hope to those who suffer with these diseases. Using a patented artificial intelligence protocol, 75% of patients in the study had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. ATCA's team spent 12 years developing these treatments. They may be reached at 772-298-4477 or at atca.ai.